But nowadays, they say that there is a cure that they have. The number of chronic cases has decreased. Listen to this right here. From 1980, it has decreased some 5.2 million people. Since 1980, 200 of those in the U.S. and China and India and Africa lead the way with the most cases. This is a horrible disease to have to live with. Horrible disease. And I'm going to ask you, what is your need in your life tonight? We see that these men had leprosy. Well, what is your need tonight in the house? You may have just got served papers with a divorce. You may have just went to the doctor and they have said that you have some kind of disease in your body. Brother Kofers, I think it's your brother or your nephew, your uncle, cousin. Amen. The doctors has pretty much gave up on him and said it's just a matter of time. Jonathan Stovall, the doctors told him, we can keep doing it, but it's not going to do any good. I believe that we serve a mighty God that can answer these prayers and that can heal somebody's body when we leave this place tonight. Amen? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We serve an on-time God. We serve a true God. Amen. He's the one that created everything in the beginning. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light, and the Bible says that there was light. Amen. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. Amen. I don't know if we believe that or not tonight. And in order to do what we got to do tonight, we got to believe that. Right. We have to believe that we have a God that can answer prayer and he can do it immediately. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 But you may have some kind of issue in your life tonight that you need God to take control of. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your income. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a lost loved one that you've been praying about. Raise your hand here tonight if you have a lost loved one that is outside the church. Everyone in here. Amen. And sometimes we say, well, I don't have anything to pray about, Brother Bacon. Pray for your lost loved ones. Amen. Maybe it's a coworker that you've been praying about and that you've been witnessing to, trying to get them. And maybe it's that you work with your dad, or maybe you work with your mom that used to come here to the church. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Keep on. Amen. Keep on living the faith. Keep on living what is right, because the greatest witness that you can do in your life is just to live a holy life. Amen. Amen. Separated from this world. That's the greatest thing that we can do. Brother Grissom used to say that any time that you have people involved, you always have potential problems involved. He said if you have a church of 10 people, you have 10 potential problems. If you have a church of 300, you have 300 potential problems. Amen. Jesus encountered 10 men who didn't have a potential problem that had a problem. And some of us here tonight, there's what, 50, 60 people in here? Maybe more? There's 50 or 60 potential problems. The issues that you're going through in your life, that you're having to battle. And some of you have been going 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years with this in your life. What about the woman with the issue of blood? How many years did she do that? 12 years. And she finally got up enough nerve to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. It took one time for God to heal this woman. Amen. He didn't have to speak to her. He didn't have to say anything to her. She reached out and got a hold to God. Amen. That's what we have to do in our life. We got to reach out and get some of God. Amen. He's here. He's already promised us that things were going to come to pass. All we got to do is just reach out and grab a hold of Jesus Christ. Grab a hold of him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. These men that had issues in their life, that had the leprosy, you know, it's not a very pretty sight. We have sores all, you know, sometimes you have limbs missing, fingers missing. It's not something that you would want to encounter in a dark alley. Amen. Even in a light alley for that. But some of us would have dismissed these men and said, you know what, I don't talk to people like you. You know, I don't have time right now for you, brother. And we would have passed up an opportunity for God to minister. We would have passed up an opportunity for God to do a work. That's what I was talking about this morning, about us. When God moves, we got to move. Amen? Because there may be somebody that came into the church that God has been pulling on their heart that walks in, and we don't act when God tells us to act. They missed out on an opportunity for God to minister to their lives. But when we look at somebody, we may say, well, they're not the right color. If you will remember my dream that I had about a month or two ago, and I walked into the church and it was full of African-American brothers. Amen. This church was packed. Well, Brother Bacon, this is not the right color. You know, this is, you know, Brother Bacon, look around. We majority of white people. Come on. God can answer, and God can heal anybody. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. It don't matter who it is. Amen. Amen. We had a Spanish service here in the church last night. Amen. God done a work in somebody's life. Amen. God ministered to somebody. Hallelujah. We're going to open this up. Amen. Whosoever will. Amen. We gotta let our light shine, church. Brother Grissom always said that we don't pick the church. We can't say, well, wait a minute, you can't come into church. And I know I said this before, but I want to say it again. We can't, you know, say, well, you can't come here to the church because, you know, of whatever. When people were asking about our installation service, they said, well, you know, what are we supposed to wear? We know y'all Pentecostals, you know, y'all have like certain, you know, dresses and stuff y'all wear, you know, certain codes and stuff. What? Codes? I don't have a dress code. Just come like you are. Amen. It's like Brother Fry was telling this morning, you know, we go get them and let God change their lives. Amen. Let God work on them. Amen. Amen. That's the only way that it's going to stick. We can sit up here all day and we can preach against it. And people will do it, but they won't apply it to their lives. Amen? They won't mean it. Exactly. But if you let God do it, let God convict them. Let God work on them. Amen. Let God have his way in their life. But we can't look at these people and say, well, you know, they have all these bumps on them, Brother Bacon, and, you know, they're sitting in my seat. Well, when you come to church, just before you sit down, just say, in Jesus' name, bless us tonight, amen, and sit back down. Or find another place. There's open seats in here. But you better not wait too long, because I believe before too long, this place is going to be packed out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because of the great things that God is doing. Well, Brother Bacon, you know, they don't act right. You know, these kids that we've been having in here on Wednesday nights, boy, they are hyper. They're having a great time because they're with their friends, but at the same time, we're teaching them about God. They're having an opportunity to learn on their level. That's why we started the Kids Can and the youth group on Wednesday nights, is that way they would have a service that would get down on their level and teach them. Amen. But these kids are acting wild. They don't want to listen. But we got to bear with them. Amen. We have to endure, so to say. Amen. Kids Can't teach us. It wasn't very strong, but okay. Amen. Anyway. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen. Hallelujah. They may not smell just right. I told you this morning that there was a brother that had 35 men with him at conference. I think it was the most out of everybody. Brother Everett said, yes, sir. Yes. Next year when we come down here, we're going to have to stop by and get about 30 or 40 homeless men and load them up in the van and carry them down there. Let them have 3 days of Jesus Christ preaching and bring them back home and see how they act. Amen. I believe that God can change their lives. Amen. But I believe that some people would have problems with it. Some people would be like, well, wait a minute, Brother Bacon. Our church don't smell the same anymore. It's got this corn chip smell to it. Or it's got this funk smell to it. Again, Who's building the church? You or God? Amen. We're just here to help them along their way. I'm here to help lead them. You're here to help pray with them. When they have a need in their life, they can pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, brother, I'm in need right now. I'm a little bit down. Can you pray for me? We sure can in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But if we were in that situation, I'm afraid that some of us would have passed by these men and not even said anything to them. But God had mercy on them. What's the scripture say? Such were some of you. Some of us were in that situation and we cried out, God, we need you, Jesus. We need you tonight, God. Bless my heart. And God filled you with the Holy Ghost and forgave all of your sins and threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. Yet were some of you. And people had time and they took time to nurture you and to minister to you. And when you acted ignorant and when you acted stupid and you didn't act like a Pentecostal, amen, they still loved you. What's the scripture say? That they will know you as disciples because of your love for one another. And if we can't get along with our own brothers and sisters, look at the life of Joseph. When he went and told his dad and his brothers and stuff, hey, I had these dreams, these weird dreams. The ones that caused him the most grief wasn't his friends or wasn't his co-workers, but they were his brothers that wanted to slay him. And thankfully, one of them spoke up and said, no, let's don't do that. Let's just sell him into slavery. But it was the brothers had the most problems with it. We heard this weekend whenever David went on the battlefield and he went to take supplies for his brothers and he looked around and everybody was hiding because there was this big man called Goliath that was out there ready to kill every one of them. Who was there to criticize him? One of his brothers said, I know what you're doing here. I know your heart. It wasn't somebody that he didn't know that was trying to discourage him, but it was a part of his brothers that was trying to do that. And I'm afraid that sometimes we get wrapped up in that we say, well, this is my church. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know what? Our church is doing great, And he said, my saints are doing good and stuff. And I was thinking, Lord, don't ever let me get to that point that I say that y'all are my saints because you're God's saints. Hey, man, you're not my people, but you're God's people. Amen. I didn't lead you out. I didn't save you. Amen. I didn't lay down my life for you. Jesus Christ did. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the point to where I say, well, my church, it's our church. And when you're talking about it to somebody, you may say, hey, man, my church is awesome. My church is doing great. But I don't ever want to get to a point that I say, look at my saints and look. No, because you're not. I could be gone next week. Amen. And somebody else fill the spot. Amen. But sometimes we get wrapped up in that. Well, I'm running the sound room or I'm on the drums tonight, and nobody can get in my space. Or I'm on the piano tonight. And, I don't want to let anybody in my space. Or I may be mowing the yard this weekend. And somebody walks up to offer to help. No, brother, that's okay. Let them help you. Hey, here's the key to the lawnmowers. Hop on it and get after it, buddy. Amen. Brother Grissom used to always say that there is no spots in the church, that you're over a spot in the church because it's all the Lord's. Amen. Everything in here is the Lord's. Everything in here. So if you are working in some kind of leadership role, amen, thank you for that. Thank you for that. But don't get too wrapped up into, this is mine. This is my pulpit. This is my platform. Don't get wrapped up in that. This is my seat. And Lord forbid that anybody would come in and sit here. Amen. Because then we would get that mindset to where God couldn't work. Amen. God can't work like that. It's discord. We need unity. Amen. That's why this weekend was so great at men's conference, because all the men were unified together. We were there for one reason. We were there to worship the Lord. and to get refreshed and to get something that we didn't possibly have. Amen. We just talked about the need that the men had, but now we're going to get to the answer that God had. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Right before that, they said, have mercy on us. Aren't you thankful for a God that has mercy? I've said it time and time again, that I am thankful that we're not the judge. I'm thankful that we don't get to judge people. Because most of you were here when I was a little kid. And I probably wouldn't be here today if most of you were judges. Amen. Because I was a wired little fella. Amen. Y'all think Landon is wired up. Amen. I was about three times what Landon was. Amen. But I'm thankful that we serve a God who has mercy and who has grace upon our lives. And when we act crazy, he just loves us anyway. When we act up sometimes, he just has mercy for us anyway. But the answer here tonight is that God told them to go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Notice this, as all they said unto him was, have mercy on us. They didn't have to go into all the details of what happened and what was wrong. Sometimes I stray away from the term when I meet somebody or when I'm, you know, saying, hey, how are you doing? Because sometimes they're going to tell you how they're doing. And 15 minutes later, you're thinking, man, I did not want to get myself into this. Why did I ask that question? Of course, you're not saying this out loud, but you're thinking in your mind, why did I ask this person this question? So I have learned just to say something like, you know, hey, praise the Lord, man. Good to see you. Sister, praise the Lord. Good to see you tonight. I'm straying away from the thing of how are you doing? Now, when you're really concerned about somebody, you want to ask that question. Hey, how are you doing? And then you get ready for whatever answer they're going to give you. Amen. But these men, they didn't have to explain to God what was wrong. They just said, have mercy on us. Jesus already knew what they were going through. God sees our life and what we're going through. He sees the trials and he sees the battles and he sees the daily ups and downs that we go through in our lives. He knows what you're going through, church. Can I get an amen? He knows what each and every one of us are going through in our life. Amen. But they didn't have to spend the time and go through and tell God all the problems that are going on in their life because God already knew. Amen. God knows your needs tonight. He helps us with our life. He keeps up with our life. And he sees us when we hurt. He sees us when we're in pain. He sees us when we have some kind of infection in our body. He sees us when the doctors have given up hope on us. God knows. Scripture says that he knows the beginning from the end. And I believe that he knows everything in between too. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. You see these men that they really did not ask God for anything. They just said, hey, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. Matthew 7 and 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. Amen. It's our job tonight, and it's our job when we walk through our journey through life that when we have problems in our life, yes, God knows our situations. He knows what we're going through, but it's our job to ask him for something. It's our job to seek after him, and we're going to find him. Amen. We're going to knock, and the scripture says that the door will be opened. Do you have a problem tonight? Do you have an issue tonight? Do you have a need tonight that you need God to take care of? Amen. Do you believe that our God can? Yeah. Have you asked him for the need? Yeah. Have you been seeking after him? Have you been knocking on the door of heaven? Lord, this is me. Hallelujah. I need you tonight, Jesus. I need you in my life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, Brother Bacon, you know, if God knows, why do I gotta go before him? Scripture talks about the prayer of faith. In James 5 and verse number 7. I had it on here and it's gone. Just a minute. James 5. I thank the Lord for technology. Amen. It's awful quick. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Do we have needs that's in the house tonight? Are we going to call on the elders of the church? Amen. Somebody got some sin in your life tonight, amen, that you need God to take care of? He's ready. And all he's waiting on is for you to say, God, have mercy on me. Just like these 10 leper men did. Again, they didn't have to go through the whole spill of like, Lord, you know, I've been going through this for a while. I don't think the scripture tells us exactly how long these men were afflicted with this leprosy. But I'm almost positive that it was a while, maybe a couple years. That's just my assumption here. And they had to go through it every day of their life. When they woke up in the mornings, they had this leprosy with them. And when they laid down at night, they had this leprosy with them. Maybe when they went to, you know, eat some soup or whatever, and they didn't have all their fingers or whatever, and they had to have somebody else help them eat. Who knows? But when they saw the master come on the scene, they said, Jesus, master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. That's the way we have to be, is God, have mercy on us. I may not always do what I need to do, God. I may not always act the right way, Lord God. But I need you in my life. I need you to take care of a situation, God. I need you to be with me. I need you to help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I stand amazed how God answers our prayers. There's what, 7 billion people on the earth? And when you have a need in your life, you call on the name of the Lord. And the scripture says that he is closer than the mention of his name. We have a God like that, that cares for you. 7 billion people all over the planet. And when you call on Jesus, he's there. When you have a need, he's there. When you call on his sweet, precious, mighty name, the scripture says that he is there for us. When we have needs in our life, he's there. When we need a healing touch, he's there. Amen. When we're sick in our body, he's there. When we may have had problems in our marriage or have problems in your life, and you know, things are going out of control and you don't know what else to do, you're at the end of the rope. Amen. There's a lot of people, and Brother Grissom used to say this, that, you know, a lot of people would say, hey, you know, if you're at the end of the rope, just tie a knot and hold on. I'm not going to encourage you tonight just to hold on. We need to hold on, but we need to move forward. Amen? We got to press forward. Press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We got somewhere to go, church. Amen. We have a hope. We have an eternal resting place. Amen. As long as we follow his word and follow his scriptures here tonight. Amen. We've seen the need. We've seen the answer. And now we're going to see where he gives thanks. Verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. We're going to get into that part here in just a minute. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole. How many times has God answered your prayers or your cries without being thanked? You'll ask God for something in your life and he'll step on the scene and he'll take care of it, and then you forget to ever give him thanks. Maybe that's why we continue to have that illness in our body, because we haven't really given God the thanks that he needs. We just say, Lord, I need a touch from you, and God touches you and you don't ever give him that thanks. You just, oh, I feel better. And then you go on about your life. How many of you ever felt that before? Amen. I'm the only one then. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. He is able. They had left the place where Jesus had healed them. God said, go your way and show yourself unto the priest. Let him know that you are healed. Let him know that, you know, everything's going to be all right. And the scripture says, as they went on their way, one of them noticed, hey, wait a minute, there's something happening here. There's a change. That sore that I had on my hand, it's gone. Wait, look at this here. Look at this. It doesn't say that he looked over at his neighbor and said, hey, John, what about yours? Is all yours gone? Because at that moment, he was worried about himself. Amen. He didn't say, hey, guys, let's go back and tell God thanks. He was worried about himself. He was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm healed. I got to go thank this man. But there's so many times in our life that God has done something for us that we have failed to thank him. Maybe you were on the verge of losing your family and everything that you had because of some choices that you had made. And God had stepped in and taken over the situation and restored everything back to you. And then you may have not told God thank you. I encourage you tonight to thank God. Amen. When you pray and you ask God for something, go ahead and thank him in advance for what he's going to do. Amen. That's showing faith. That's showing expectations that God's going to do something in the place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It seems to me that really this man was the only one that was really paying attention as he was going his way to show the priest. Amen. That's what happens to us. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own life that sometimes we don't even pay attention. Amen. But this man looked down at himself and he said, wait a minute, something's happening here. I'm changing. I got to go back and tell this man, thank you. I got to go back and let him know that I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so worried about our problems and God is trying to work out, but we won't let him because we notice our problems too much. Amen. We just continue on. God, I need your touch. Just like when my dad was here preaching Wednesday night or so ago. He was talking about how Peter was in prison and the people were praying, and there was a knock at the door and the people were still praying, and Rhoda went and answered the door, and it was Peter. Or was it Paul? Peter, thank you. Amen. I wasn't preaching anything that's not right, so amen, thank you. Amen. But he you know, went there and went, hey, y'all. Peter's at the door. And I'm pretty sure somebody said, hey, little kid, shh, we're praying for Peter right now. We're praying for our problems right now. And sometimes that's how we get wrapped up in our own little problem world, is we're trying to focus on our problems and we ask God to take care of a situation. And he already has, but all we got to do is just acknowledge it. All we got to do is just realize that God has already done the work in our life. We just got to give him a little bit of thanks so he can take care of the complete situation. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you know, I don't have any illnesses in my body right now, but my family, there's a history of issues. Amen. And I know if I don't lose a little bit of this weight, I'm eventually going to get some of it. Amen. And it's hard for me to realize what somebody's going through in their life. So when I pray for them, it's you know, I have faith that God can heal them, But I've never experienced what they're going through. So it's hard for me to completely understand what God is doing in their life. But some of you have already experienced that God has healed you. So when you pray with somebody, amen, that just gives you more encouragement that God can do it because he's done it to you. Or you've seen a neighbor, or you've seen a friend, or somebody that's sitting beside you right now that God has already healed. Amen? It encourages us. That's why I thank God for the trials and the tribulations that we have to go through in our lives. Got quiet. I expected it to. Amen. Because, Brother Jeff, it makes us stronger. It helps us through our battles. So that way that we can possibly witness to younger kids and say, hey, this is the path that I took. Now, we all know that when we were younger, we didn't want to listen to what old people had to say. We wanted to live our life exactly how we wanted to do it. We wanted to make our decisions. Amen? But just maybe that there's that one young person that says, you know what? I heard the story that Brother Jay was telling. Or I heard what Brother Gary Hart used to go through. I'm going to try to apply that to my life. And maybe, just maybe, they never get to that situation because of the testimony that you've had to go through. Amen? So you should be thankful for what you have gone through because now you're able to help somebody else out in that situation. Amen? Somebody that has been healed of cancer in their body. I mean, I can only imagine horrible disease. But God steps on the scene and heals their body. Takes it away. And all the things that they've had to go through, now they can encourage other people and say, hey, God healed me. He can heal you. God took care of my situation. He can take care of your situation. Just like when we lose our loved ones. Why does God put that on us? Amen. The scripture says that there's a time for all of us to die. And when we look at our lives, we're like, God, why am I going through this? And then later on in life, you start noticing things and you're like, okay, that's why. If you really and truly look at your life, you'll start seeing things. It's like a big old puzzle. Things are starting to fit together. What's that song say? You will understand it better by and by. God works in mysterious ways. We don't understand tonight that God is working right now. God is in the middle of our lives. He's working on our behalf right now. And if we could ever understand that the things that we go through are not bigger than our God. Our God created those things in our life. Amen. He's allowing those things to happen. He's allowing those trials to come. He's allowing that flat tire that you had this morning possibly to slow you down. He's allowing something to happen that your shoe breaks or something happens in your life that you're having such a bad day. You're having a horrible day. It's happening for a reason. What's that reason? I can't tell you. Amen. Only God knows. Maybe it's an opportunity for him to slow you down a little bit so when that person comes, you're able to meet them and to witness to them and to testify to them and let them know how good God is. Even though you're having a bad day, you can say, you know what? God's still good. God's still good. He is able. Hallelujah. This young man, again, with the loud voice, he cried out and thanked the Lord. The first time he cried out, he said, Master, have mercy on us. Second time, he was thanking God. Sometimes we just got to open our mouth and give God a little bit of praise. Amen. We can clap our hands all we want. We can shout all we want. But I believe it's important that we also lift up our voice and sing for joy. Amen. Let God know, hey, God, I'm down here and I need you tonight. I need you to answer this prayer that I got. Amen. Lift up our voice and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. When you look at this man's life, it seems like this man was serious about something. He wanted something in his life. He wanted a change in his life. He was tired of being the same way that he was. Brother Fry was talking about that earlier. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I believe that when you get at that point to where you're just at the end of the rope, and God will step in and take care of the situation. Now, it may not always work out like you want it to. He may step in and take that person on. And he may heal. And you may question, God, why didn't it work out like this? Have you ever tried to do something your way? And it didn't work out, and you finally had to give up and say, Lord, take over. What's the song say? Give up and let Jesus take over. Just give up and let Jesus, hallelujah, take over. That's what we got to do sometimes when you have went through all of your options. Sometimes, instead of people taking God and letting God be their first option, unfortunately, he's their last option. When they've exhausted everything else, then they look to God and say, you know what? I guess it's time for us to pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to make that my first number one option, that we take everything before the Lord, because he's the one that created us. Amen. He's the one that can heal our bodies. He's the one that can make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you read the scriptures here, it talks about Jesus called him a stranger. And when you look at this, you think, well, wait a minute. If somebody had, you know, just done something nice for me and then called me a stranger, you know, how would I feel? Some of us would have gotten offended by that. And let that sink in a little bit there. Some of us would have been offended by what God said to him. He said, where are the other nine? There are none other to come and to give God glory, save this stranger. Amen. Some of us would have ended it right there and said, hey, hold on, time out. No, you didn't. You did not just call me a stranger. You did not just say that. You did not just do so-and-so. Amen? Amen. Some of us would have got our feelings hurt because of what God said. Save this stranger. You called me a stranger? Amen. In verse number 19, God tells him, he said, thy faith have made thee whole. See, sometimes, and a lot of the times when people would be healed of leprosy or get past it or whatever, they would still have the scars on their body. They would still have issues with their fingers. Now, I don't know. The scripture doesn't say that when he was going his way to show himself to the priest, did his fingers just start popping back up one by one? Maybe that's why he realized that, hey, something's different here. Maybe he didn't have any fingers at all, and all of a sudden, pow! He's like, oh! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk some people up here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. But is it possible that that's what God can do on your behalf? He can step in and he can touch your situation. Amen. Well, you don't have any fingers or whatever. God can just make one pop up. Hallelujah. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. Hallelujah. Because my God is able. My God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's able to make these situations go away. He's able to heal somebody's body here tonight. Amen. If you will, stand with me, please. In the name of Jesus. In closing here tonight, in those days, the Samaritans did not have any dealings with the Jews, or the Jews with the Samaritans, for that matter. This point in scripture is very important for us today. He went out of his way to heal a bunch of diseased-filled, very poor, home-broken families. People that most crowds would have avoided and would have pushed away. Matter of fact, the people that were in the city had made them go on the outskirts of the city to live by themselves. They had to live in leprosy colonies because people were afraid that it was going to be contagious. They had pushed them away. It's not always going to be popular to put God first in your life or to trust in God. Things are going to happen. Things are going to come your way that it's not always going to be popular. It's not always going to be popular to pray at school when somebody needs a touch from God. Well, hey, you know, I'll have my church pray for you. What's wrong with praying for them right there? I said, what's wrong with praying for them right there? On your job, somebody says, hey, can you have your church pray for me? Who is the church? Is it a building? We are the church. So when somebody says, hey, can you have your church pray for me? I sure can. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus, touch this situation. Have your way in this life, God. You see the need. You can supply the need. But it was important that this Samaritan got touched by God because they didn't have any dealings with each other. But God is able to step past boundaries that men have set. God is able to do great things in people's life, not because of the color of their skin or how rich they are or what exactly that they've done in their life, but God is able to touch his children. We are the children of God. Amen. We are the people of God. Amen. God is here for us today. All we have to do is just ask him and be ready to receive what he has for us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's start praying right now, church. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God, you see the needs that's in this place tonight. We ask you in your sweet name, God, that you would reach down and that you would touch us tonight. You see every need, Lord God, and you have the answer for it, Jesus. We ask you in your mighty name, God, that you would do a work in somebody's life here tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that you would build our faith, God, right now, Jesus. You see the situations. You see the disease that may be in our body, Lord God. You see the financial need that we're in right now. We may not have enough money, God, to pay a mortgage or to pay rent, maybe even to pay electric bill, Lord God, but you see our need tonight, Jesus, and you are able, Holy Spirit, God, to provide a way out. You are able, Jesus, to do a work in every one of our lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want every one of us tonight to think of one thing that you have in your life or in your body that you need God to touch. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a healing line here tonight. We're going to let God have his way, but we're going to ask the brethren that if you would please come, and we're going to anoint you with oil. But I want you to think of one thing in your life that you need God to touch the most. Maybe it's a situation in your knees, or maybe it's some kind of disease that's in your body. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's something that you need from God tonight. I believe that God is able to do great things in this place tonight. Amen. And if you have a family member that may need a touch that's not here, we have handkerchiefs that we're going to pray over. We're going to anoint and we're going to send these out because I believe that God is able to heal people's lives in these days. Amen. Just because it's 2015 does not mean that God can't work. Hallelujah. So if you will, please just line up over here on the side. And while you're in line, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and expect God to do great things tonight. What is your expectations tonight? Do you expect God to do something great? Amen. I have a high expectation tonight.